Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in. Pull up a chair next to this lovely fire that's off camera right now that you can't see. Trust me, it's warm. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Ryan. Jocelyn is not here this week. She's doing some family stuff this week, so we wish her well. But I've brought in two good friends to talk about amazing video games in this amazing time, and also like old school stuff called Dungeons and Dragons with dice and stuff. It's really neat. So first off, I'll introduce Lindsay. I put you guys in the wrong slots.
Oh no!
I'm looking at the overlay. It's like I got. You know what? We're gonna fix this right while I'm introducing everybody. So those watching the video are probably like, "That's not Jimmy. That's Lindsay." It's like, Ryan, what are you doing? Ignore this fancy-dancy music while I say, hello, Jimmy. How's it going?
It's going great, Ryan. How about you?
I could be better at Skype overlay stuff, even though I had 24 hours of practice over the weekend. I'm happy that you're joining us for the first time on the Gamers Inn. I think you've been a guest on the Hangout.
I was a guest along with Josh in January. At a time that you were out, and it's just Jocelyn.
Hey, today's going great. You might just want to start over again. Anyways, yes, no, I think we've had you on a Hangout before, but it's great that you're finally here, longtime friend of the show. See, why can't Zoe be as well-behaved as the lovely, Lindsay. Lindsay's also joining us.
Hi.
The lovely Lindsay.
Yeah, no, I've got Chloe right here, so don't worry. I can't see her off camera right now, but I'm holding her down from trying to get in frame. Now she's licking my hand in protest. So
yeah, so
we'll see how long that lasts.
More well behaved than the lovely Zoe that just spiked the mic for everybody, including our lovely guests. So with that behind us, let's talk about something that Lindsay and I have been playing, as well as James. We're going to talk about Extra Life during our topic of the week. Obviously, that's the giant, lovely charity in the room that we did, and we've been talking about for months. So let's take a break from that, and let's talk about some video games. Fallout 4. We've been playing a lot of Fallout 4. I know I have. I know James has. And I know there's been conversations about you playing, Lindsay, in the chat room. Jim, are you playing Fallout 4? Or
I have never played a Fallout game except for like 15 minutes of the first one.
Okay, perfect. Well, then I'm gonna be serious here. You're gonna love this conversation because I feel like Fallout 4 is the perfect game to jump into this franchise if you've not played any other Fallout game. But we'll jump back to that. Lindsay, what's been your experience with Fallout 4? Is it good?
I think I'm gonna have a completely opposite point of view. So Fallout 4 is the first Fallout game that I've actually seriously gotten into. I played a bit of 3, made it past the intro, and didn't quite get into it like I wanted to. So I was like, okay, 4, I'll try this again. Got 5 hours into it, and I've just been frustrated with it, to be honest. I'm playing on, obviously, PC with a controller, which I've heard is not how you're supposed to be playing it.
That's how I'm playing it. No, don't let anybody tell you that's not how you're supposed to play it, because 2/3 of the people playing this game are playing with a controller. So to those people who are about to raise their arms up and go keyboard and mouse and start swinging the mouse around like weird PC warriors. See? Yeah, that's totally fine. You should be totally playing with a controller.
But the problems that I've been having, though, have actually caused me to uninstall it.
Oh, no.
Not once, but twice in the last week. I have just not had any luck with aiming and the gun combat. Just not at all. I don't know. I won't get into spoilers or anything, but there's one mission where you have to get into a power plant type thing.
Yeah.
And there's that turret across the street. I spent 2 hours Saturday night trying to hit this thing from 20 feet away. I just can't hit it. And I'm I just keep dying half dozen times. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna turn this off. I'm getting frustrated. I'm gonna come back to it tomorrow, and the same exact thing happened. And like, I should be able to hit something that's 20 feet away with a gun, but mm-hmm. not having it.
I agree with you. My sort of stance on this being the best time to jump in, because all the Fallout game, like Fallout 3, I was saying to myself, I don't remember Fallout 3 being this difficult. Like, I was having the same issue as you. I was trying to shoot things. I was missing. I was using VATS. It wasn't as powerful. I was always getting overwhelmed. It kind of feels like they've taken the Wasteland approach from 3 and made it busier. So you're constantly running into stuff as you're mm-hmm. walking from point to point. It's like, oh, great, I'm being attacked by, these weird flies that poison me. And I think I've escaped. Oh, no, wait, my health is down. Oh, I'm dead.
suddenly my health bar only has half the capacity than it used to.
You lose a lot of health. It's a difficult game, and I think that's something that should be commended these days, because a lot of games are not easy. Some people would call it, oh, it's baby mode. It's like, it's not baby mode. It's just, it's very much a gated experience that progresses you bit by bit. Whereas Fallout, if you're not careful, you mm-hmm. could lose major progress, and that's your fault, not the game's fault. The game would be like, oh, no, you're the game's that type of person that's like, oh, you're playing it wrong. It's like, no, game, I'm not playing it wrong. You just killed me because a super mutant was hiding in the top tier of that building with a rocket launcher. And for some reason, when he aims and shoots, he can get a square shot.
Perfect.
That's because he's using mouse and keyboard.
We'll see. Yeah, right.
Yep.
He's using mouse and keyboard, and he's got all of his points into intelligence so he can aim.
Perception, too.
Yeah. And see, that's my other issue with the game is I love the game. I think it's great. But there's just those little moments that, like you said, would cause you to uninstall it. Like, nope. Yeah. It's the equivalent of like rage quitting. Like, you don't want to slam your $80 controller into the floor. You'd rather just uninstall your $60 game. It's a cheaper way to go about it.
I came close. I came really close last week. So I was talking to James about this issue that I've had, and I'm like, I looked online. It doesn't seem like it's a widespread issue. Maybe it's just me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, have you tried VATS yet? I'm like, did I miss that?
Yeah.
And so I felt like a complete idiot because I did not know about this in the intro or anything like mm-hmm. that. And as soon as I got that, I was like, okay, I can hit only things only with VATS. I can't hit with anything else. Mm-hmm. So then the second solution was, maybe I'm just bad at it.
I don't think you're bad at it. I honestly thought we didn't unlock VATS when we first started. Because when I was... So just for... Jimmy, you might not know... Do you know what the VATS system is in Fallout?
Not a clue.
Okay, so this would be perfect. So I guess this is where the argument comes that Lindsay was saying she would have the opposite opinion, and that it's not the best game to jump in because they don't explain anything. The one thing they actually do explain and go through is the new sort of settlement mechanic where you're building settlements, and to the point that you want to like quit your quest and move on because they're spending hours teaching you how to plant crops. But the VAT system allows you to hit a toggle and basically turns things into a turn-based game using your action points that you have and turning that into fireable shots. So you can go into VATS mode, target specific parts of the body, and it all shows like the health of that part of the body until it's crippled and the chance of you hitting it. Usually what I do is I go pistols, shotguns, and hunting rifle, and then I always aim for the head, get a couple shots off. So now that I'm starting to get into the game, so Lindsay, I think it takes some time to kind of build up your stats, find the guns you really like, and then getting used to the combat, like knowing when you have to, recover, get out of there, duck behind cover, and wait for your action points to revive, and then go back into VATS, target specific parts of the body. But I feel like, and that stops time almost completely. There's a bit of a, but it's the best part of that game, but I feel like it's a little, to me anyways, from what I remember from Fallout 3, it's a little bit it's not as effective as I remember. Because I'm like lining up a shot and I'm just getting bullets into me left, right, and center. And I guess it's realistic. Like, no one's gonna not shoot at you. It's like, wait, I'm aiming, give me a second.
Yeah. I think in real life, like, I don't know how many bullets my character's been taking, but it's a lot. I think, you know, in real life, one or two would probably knock me over.
Yeah. And you wouldn't, I can't tell you how many times I've like stepped over a grenade or a landmine. Oh my God. There'd be times where I'm walking into a hallway and all I hear is beep, 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 beep. Oh.
I'm like, all right. Oh no.
Yeah, it's terrible. But the game is a lot of fun, and in the way it introduces you into the world, like the story starts off really interestingly in that you play a pre-war character that through story ends up in the wasteland 270 years later. And I think for someone who has never played the game, your character is fresh and new and sort of like born into this world as fresh as you are if you've never played this series. So that's a really interesting, well, I guess I shouldn't say that, because in the third one, you literally are born into the world in the game. I remember that vividly, actually, now that I think about it. I think you'd enjoy it, Jimmy. If you're big into PC-type games that are a little more difficult, and if you love Skyrim, I mean, let's face it, this is very Skyrim.
I own Skyrim, but I've never even booted it up.
Oh, well, you should boot up Skyrim.
It's been on my to-do list for a long time.
Yeah, and some people in the chat room are saying VATS is less effective than right click mouse and shooting with the aim down the sights. I'd agree with you there, because if I'm facing a bunch of feral ghouls, I would rather use VATS because it's more fun to watch their heads kind of just, you know, like shoot their limbs off as they come at you all wailing and stuff. But if you're facing a bunch of raiders and they're coming at you like one after another, you're not going to be able to use VATS to build up enough action points to take them all out. So you're better off just wasting all your ammo by like sitting there behind a corner and just pop, 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 you know, like a Call of Duty game, you know? So,
hey. I don't
know. Yeah. But funny enough, you've been actually playing a Call of Duty game.
I have been.
How is Black Ops 3? I have not touched any Call of Duty, you know?
This was the first Call of Duty game I've played on release, and James and I have been playing. I'm sorry, we've been playing it, doing the co-op campaign and some multiplayer in the zombie mode, and I'm really enjoying it, even though I'm really bad at it. The chat is a bit unforgiving in multiplayer.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah, they won't let you forget how much of a noob you are.
Well, if that's the only thing they're saying, I think you're getting off. You're getting off easy, because from what I remember playing multiplayer in Call of Duty, it was pretty. They were pretty ruthless, and that's why I stopped playing. But
yeah, I'm keeping an option to just in case.
Oh yeah, there's probably an option to mute the chat. Have you played any Call of Duty, Jim? Like, I usually just play the single player.
Ever played was, well, a couple of them on PlayStation 3, just multiplayer with a friend, and you know, me with controller FPS, just bad. I was terrible.
Yeah. Are you playing? You're playing with your controller on COD. Controllers Anonymous. Controller PC controller Anonymous. Don't worry, I'm with you. We can be strong together. I know a lot of people. Hey, maybe they'll give a pass on Fallout, but they might light their keyboards on fire and go through the streets towards us.
I have been playing Call of Duty on a keyboard and mouse.
Oh, see?
Don't worry.
Yeah, just get everybody calm down. Have you touched the campaign at all? Because I'm really interested in the campaign.
I did, yep. We did, James and I did the, a couple missions together. Unfortunately for me, I'm very sensitive to motion sickness, especially in games. So my threshold is maybe about an hour before I'm like, okay, I got to go lay down. I got to go look at something non-moving for a while and then come back.
Yeah.
But the campaign, I don't know much of the backstory, but I got really into it. I think it's a lot of fun, to be honest, and especially the first mission is certainly exciting. I won't spoil anything, but
I hear there's some robots, and the robots do things that are terrible.
Yes.
Yeah. I think there was a scene, like a GIF got uploaded to Reddit, and it was basically, I won't spoil it because I don't know where it takes place. It was just, It's a GIF on Reddit. Who knows what's happening? But it was it was like basically these Call of Duty games are getting pretty brutal, and it was just a scene of a robot just like, I don't know, how do I best describe it? You know how when you're sitting on the ground, you're bored, and you start like picking grass out, like you just kind of pick it up. It's like, oh yeah, I got a piece there, and it was basically like that, but not grass. If I think that's from
that's probably a good metaphor to
perfect. I nailed it. Did I paint the picture in your head, Jimmy? Do you want to go see that?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. So he's gonna go pick up. So it's Black Ops 3, right? So you've never played the other two. I remember the first one sort of leading into the second one, but it was really kind of like, hey, that's my son. And there was like a little bit of a conspiracy bleeding in from one to the other. But is there a bit of that in the third one, or is it just kind of like, it's the future, robots are hitting shit, you know?
Probably the second. There's quite a few robots. There's a lot of robot-y skills that you get. But yeah, this is kind of like a very like impulse buy where I was like, I feel like playing a first-person shooter out of the blue. Don't know where that came from.
A week before Fallout came out? Yeah. So you're playing Fallout third-person, then, is what you're saying.
Oh, gosh. I didn't even think about that. I should do. Just to balance it out.
Exactly. This way you're not totally first-person.
Yeah,
don't do that. Third person in Fallout is still not that great. It's all right.
I was trying to read up on the aiming issues I was having, and everybody's like, I'm playing it in third person, but I can't hit anything. I'm like, well, that's probably because you're playing in third person, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, so you've been playing a little bit of multiplayer, and you're starting to get better. You're playing with James. Is James a COD guy, or?
He says he's not good, but he... You know, for him ranking like, you know, for second or third in a match, and I'm like, hey, I'm at the bottom. Woo! I got one kill.
You're having fun. Yeah, as long as you're having fun, that's all that matters.
Yeah, and there's like a weird satisfaction. Oh my gosh, I can't talk tonight. Sorry.
It's all good.
Where you, of course, they give out the like little medals about like, oh, you killed like this person, you killed like five people in a row or whatever. Mm-hmm. The best one to get is the kill the person that killed you last, and you're like, sweet, sweet revenge.
Yeah, I love doing that. I always try to do that. I've been playing a lot of like Halo 5 multiplayer, and that's what I've been doing a lot of, is just as long as I can kill the person that killed me, I will die happy. You know, or I will lose happy, I suppose, is what I should say. But I'm interested, because I'm not as big a COD person, like a Call of Duty guy, but I know Jocelyn really likes the series, and I think she's been looking to get back into it. So it's good to hear that it lives up. I heard the multiplayer was a bit better than the single player. So that's good for those who are more interested in that. Have you played the zombies mode yet? Because that's kind of what I'm interested
in.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, I had to learn how to skip cutscenes pretty quickly, because that every time you start it over, you get the same, like, I don't know, a couple minute long intro about, hey, this is why we're here and why we're killing zombies. It's a little repetitive after a while.
Right.
But and that's also co-op too. So James and I have been trying that as well. And it's exciting. I'm trying to learn the strategy behind it with like which way you're supposed to go and how to spend your money wisely and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very addictive though. I needed to cut my game time with that pretty carefully, because I could, you know, just try to keep going, try to get better every time, and I'm really liking it.
Yeah, well, I look forward to seeing more. I assume that you and James are Twitch streaming a little bit of it. I haven't seen. I know he's been doing a lot of Fallout, which is good. But it's really nice to hear that you're enjoying Black Ops, and hopefully, I say stick with Fallout 4. It sounds like I feel your pain, man. Like there are some frustrating bits in there. But the story and the setting and the music for both of those game titles, really, it was what always got me. And robots are cool. There's lots of robots in both of them.
If you like robots, you'll like 3. There's definitely a lot of robot-y things to it.
Cool. Well, I look forward to watching that GIF again on Reddit about the robots. But is there any robots, Jimmy? Is there any robots in Paladins? because you've been playing the beta, and I literally before we started the show, maybe if I hadn't played Paladins, we would have got all the technical difficulties out of the way earlier. But I enjoyed my time with that one match in Paladins, the beta that we're playing.
Well, there's one. He's not really an actual robot, but he's a guy in a mechanical suit. So
he's part robot.
He's almost a robot.
He's wearing a robot. He's inside.
I think the robot,
a robot
is like some old enemy of his that he took over or something.
Oh, weird.
You know how it is in these games. There's technically story, but it's all nonsense.
Yeah, like unlike Smite, where, I mean, it's not nonsense. I don't want to offend anybody, but it's like all based on mythology and gods and stuff. And that's their backstory, where it really works well for Smite. Cause it's like, yeah, Shamakalakalan. I can't even think of a real god's name. Neith. That's Neith, the god of arrow boobs. I don't know. And if you see an arrow, you know what I mean.
Yes.
God of arrow boobs.
Arrow boobs. Sounds terrible, but she's a god of arrows. I think she shoots a lot of arrows, so there's no need for really like a front and center backstory. But with Paladins, and also with Overwatch as well, what I'm feeling is it really is a game that requires that story, and I wonder if Paladins is going to serve it up, especially since they've seen what Overwatch is doing with story.
I don't know. Hyrus didn't really do anything story wise with Smite. I mean, there was some comic.
It's a terrible comic.
Oh, I haven't read it.
Yeah, but, don't read it.
So I doubt they're really going to put a lot of effort in the story, because in the end, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, because it's all about gameplay with these games. And
yep.
And having played, so Paladins, for those who want to know, it's a team-based shooter. The only map, or the only mode available in the beta is Siege, I guess, is what I don't know what they're calling it, but it felt like Siege.
It's a point capture where there's just these capture points on the map, three different ones, and it spawns. You have to go, you capture the point by standing on it, fighting off the enemy team, and if you capture it, then you gain a siege engine, which goes and pushes the enemy base.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you win, is you knock down their two gates in the vault. And you can only do it once you have the siege engine.
Hmm.
So it's basically just a series of battles, then you attack the base, then you try to get away from them, and then you wait for the next spawn.
Yeah, and I know I don't know. I think I played 15 minutes of it. I played one match and I really enjoyed it. Have you ever played Smite or any of these MOBA type games, Lindsay? Like would you be interested in Paladins? Have you seen it? Or
I don't know much about it other than Jim's been streaming it like crazy lately.
Yeah.
I played League of Legends for a bit. Heroes. I tried Dota too, but
Dota's comp, like, I don't get Dota. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Don't yell at me. I gotta eat the trees. What? I think you eat the trees. Is that a thing in Dota? I don't know.
I didn't get that far to figure that out.
I think it's like a regen thing, but no, Paladins feels very accessible, and it's even more so accessible than, I mean, I hate to compare it to Overwatch, but I have not played Overwatch yet, so I can't definitively say which one I like better, but having played a match of Paladins and knowing that anybody can get into it by either signing up for the beta and getting into that random pull, or buying into the beta with the Founders Pack, getting you, it's $20. I don't know what it gets you. What does it get you, Jim?
It gets you the, I think it's called the Infernal Warhorse mount, which is basically just a horse that's on fire.
Perfect. Like,
well, parts of it are on fire.
Well,
and
can't win them
all. It gets you 20 card chests, which I think they have 5 cards each. And the cards are basically how you level up your skills. You draw one, well, you draw 3 cards, then you choose which one. The only mode right now is it's called Casual, where you just pick, you get random cards from your entire collection for that hero. Then later there's going to be a constructed mode where you basically, kind of like a card game where you build your deck beforehand and then you draw only from that. Mm-hmm. So you can pick synergies, pick exactly what cards you want and such. But there's currently, I think, 233 cards in the game.
Oh my gosh.
So that's going to get you 100. No guarantee that you're going to get all unique ones, but you also get a bunch of other cards to start out, like even if you didn't buy the Founders Pack.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I was playing, I got just a beta key to get in, and the other cool thing that it does is it shares your team's cards. Because I saw, like, you know, shared by Jim, shared by Vin. And I was super
not your team, but your party.
Oh, so your friends that you're in a party with?
Yes. Anybody who, yeah, it won't be any non-party teammates, but anybody that you're in a party with, you can use their cards in the random mode.
And the other thing that they've announced is that while Overwatch is a boxed $60 game, and we're only comparing them just because they're two products that are coming out, so they will be competing, but I think they're different enough that you could easily buy both and have fun with both. Because Overwatch is a $60 box copy. You get all the heroes, you just buy it, and it's yours. Whereas with Paladins, all the heroes are free. It's the cards that they're using to monetize the game, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm sure later skins for the characters and also mounts.
Yeah. And
just in Smite.
Blizzard will do the same thing. They've already shown their hand that they're willing to sell skins, and those skins look fantastic. And there's story behind the skins. Leave it up to Blizzard to just inject story into everything, which I love. It's not just, I don't know, we gave Raynor a cowboy hat. There's no story. He's just wearing a cowboy hat. It's like, perfect. He sounds like a cowboy. Now he's got a cowboy hat.
Well, I don't know. What's the story behind Lumberjack Uther and Heroes?
Well, he's Canadian. I don't know. He was trying out for a paper towel commercial. Is that better?
No? That works.
That works. Okay.
Awesome.
I think you can actually buy Overwatch for $40. But the $60 one gives you a bunch of skins.
Right. You are correct. That is true. So 40 PC only. Yes. And then 60 is consoles and PC. And then if you're crazy and want a giant statue of, I don't know, what appears to be a more boring character, Soldier 76, you could do that too. I'm sure it's a really nice statue. But
yeah, I don't get why they picked one of the most generic looking characters in the game for the statue.
I've heard one argument that Tracer already got a statue and you could buy it on the Blizzard store.
Okay, sure, but what about, you know, Widowmaker or Reaper? Mm-hmm. One of the other ones is like very iconic looking and is not Reaper. Just kind of this boring soldier guy.
Reaper would have been a really good second choice. I stand corrected. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Maybe they didn't want to do a bad guy. But,
or even like Symmetra, the woman that flies and shoots rockets and stuff. She's got a really cool outfit. It just seems like they went with a very bland choice when they have very, very unique looking characters in the game they could have used instead.
Okay,
I'm looking at the heroes page right now just to see who's who.
In Paladins?
No, in Overwatch. I'm like, Reaper looks pretty cool. I'd like a statue of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of heroes in Overwatch. Now, in Paladins, they've only got 8 announced, correct?
Yes, there's going to be a 9th coming soon. She was originally going to be released with the beta, but I guess just wasn't quite finished. They didn't like something about her. Hopefully she'll come soon.
So is that like a character we know of, or is just we know it's going to be a female?
Yeah, her name is like Evie or Evie. I'm not sure the pronunciation. And she has, it seems like, frost powers.
Oh.
So you like probably, you know, slows, maybe a freeze, something like that. Well, she apparently, for her movement ability, flies around on a broom or something like that.
I played as Cassie, which is the poster girl of the game, the poster hero. She's the what I had said, is she the Neith of the franchise? And you had said, well, yeah, that's probably a good connection to make. And she felt very balanced, very simple in a way that there is an attack. There's, I don't know what the scout does. I kept spamming it. I don't really know what it does.
It reveals enemies around you, so you can see them if they're behind a wall. And it also gives you a damage bonus while it's out.
Plus you shoot a hawk and you guide it, which is pretty badass. And the other was basically a super jump. The art style, I love the art style. I mean, if you guys aren't looking at it right now, Paladins feels very, very cartoony, very Pixar. More Incredibles than anything. Like, if I had to pick a Pixar movie to sort of compare it to, it feels very Incredibles. Now, it's still in beta. It doesn't look as polished as Overwatch. I gotta stop comparing it to Overwatch.
It's the obvious comparison that everybody's gonna make.
I know, but I feel bad. Like, they are two different games that I'm very interested in playing. The only difference is that I'm in the Paladins beta, Blizzard. This feels like Smite and Heroes all over again, where all my friends are playing Heroes, the new nice and shiny beta, and I'm sitting here, well, I want to play a MOBA. Let's try Smite. And then we got really into Smite, and then Heroes just never really caught on. It's more so now, but...
I think the transition between Overwatch and Paladins is going to be easier because they're very similar games in playstyle. Mm-hmm. Heroes is, you know, obviously the old real-time strategy perspective style of MOBA, while Smite's the third-person one, so you can't really, like, easily transition between the two. These are basically two... I mean, they're both shooters, first-person shooters. We've been playing that since Wolfenstein 3D in, like, 1993.
It's very easy to pick up a first-person shooter in that you literally... you know, use your mouse to point at the thing you want to... Now, I'm not saying it's easy to aim, because I was missing a lot of, like, aim shots that would have killed characters, but it's basically point and shoot. With an RTS, if you're caught out of position, like happens to me all the time in Heroes, you are dead. You know, pretty simply put. Do you have any interest in checking out Paladins, Lindsay? I know that... what is it? What does that look? What is this? Are you looking at it right? You're signing up for the beta right now, aren't you?
I'm signing up for the beta right now.
Perfect.
Watching a couple like gameplay videos right now. I'm like, this looks like fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it probably will cause you a bit of a problem with the motion sickness because you are moving a lot.
Yeah, it can be pretty chaotic. First person too and everything, but hey, it does look like fun though.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like if you really wanted to, you could probably pick a character that was a little more slower moving, a little more support. There are some bigger characters that I noticed that, again, I haven't played them. I only played Cassie, but feels like, you know, laying down a shield, like connecting to others. I saw some connector beams. I don't know what they do, but I saw them. You know, maybe those characters would be a little more safe for people who suffer from motion sickness. But when I was playing as Cassie, I was kind of keeping it pretty simple, like face forward. The jump, sort of the dodge move, did kind of get me a couple times. It was like felt kind of too fast. But I'm interested in playing more, and I hope everybody else checks it out, because I think that Paladins is a nice new fresh product from Hi-Rez. It's nice to see them moving on from Smite, but offering something, like evolving and offering something else besides just Smite, you know?
Yeah.
Now you guys like your Smite, so.
We do. Yep. We do.
They've made a very, very fun, very accessible game with Smite, and it seems like they've done the same thing with Paladins.
Yeah.
And despite, you know, a very limited cast of characters and just one game mode, I've played probably 7 or 8 hours the last 2 days, and I'm bored in the slightest, and I know... a lot of people I see on Twitter that I know they've been playing it just constantly the last 2 days, and they're still loving it.
Cool.
How's the community in Paladins?
So far, very good. I've only seen a couple people be like even slightly pissy.
You get that no matter where you go, I guess. But
it is the first and second days of a beta.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows that nobody knows what they're doing, and it's a very small community. I've seen plenty of posts from people that were in the Smite beta that talk about how much better it was back then community-wise because everybody was nicer. So, I mean, it's online gaming. It's going to be the same crap every community, unfortunately. The more popular it gets, the more people there are, the more seriously people take it, the more people are just going to be jerks about it.
Yep.
But you do have the ability to mute people, so there is that.
Yeah, Lindsay, if you are interested in playing, like whenever we play these types of games, I for one do not recommend anyone play these games on their own. Like, obviously in beta,
definitely not.
Yeah, it's a special case in beta where you have a limited amount of people who are playing. But even in Overwatch, when I hear my friends talking about it, like they don't solo queue; they play with people. They know that I for one, don't like playing multiplayer games. If it weren't for having somebody to pass the controller back and forth on Halo 5, I probably wouldn't play that online or as much as I am right now. And I think playing with other people makes it more fun, brings it closer to that couch experience. I know I had as a kid playing with my brothers and friends in town. It was like, I want that experience. I don't really necessarily care about winning and pwning face and whatever the kids say these days. Do they say that? They probably don't say that, do they?
I think they do talk about pwning noobs.
I don't
think that's gone away yet.
They don't say pwning face. Did I make that up?
They might. I try not to listen to the kids these days.
All right, we should try. We should all go hang out with kids, come back next week,
Don't get all that. Of our newfangled vocabulary.
Yeah, newfangled. We should try to like, and we should try to sneak in our own, like newfangled, and I don't even know. I probably say a bunch of stuff that kids don't say these days.
Back in my day, we had to like blow in the cartridges to get them to work.
Exactly.
You know, you guys with your Steam downloads and whatnot. I don't know how you guys.
I always blow on the Ethernet port just to kind of see if it speeds things up. Often I just look ridiculous, so it doesn't really do much. Passes the time, though.
We're all getting old, aren't we?
Yeah, but it's fun getting old because then you can afford all these games.
That is true.
Could you imagine being a kid? Like, I know we're jumping around here, but like, could you imagine being a kid these days and seeing all these wonderful products? I know there's a lot of like free to play stuff and there's a lot of options, especially with Paladins being, yeah, free to play. Just go nuts if you want to buy skins, whatever. I could not imagine being, I don't know, not even like, I know you don't want to buy everything because nobody has that kind of time, but not being able to buy all the great stuff that's coming out or at least try it. We live in a really interesting, I just upgraded my internet to unlimited because I kept going over because everything is just so like, forget cost. Like let's talk about bandwidth. Everything's just so expensive, you know, 60 gigabyte games. It's crazy. It's just nuts. But, I'm glad that we were able to talk about all those fun games. But I do want to thank our patrons at patreon.com/thegamersin. This week we're thanking Mary B. Mary B, thank you very much for being a patron, otherwise known as Barbara in the chat room. I think I saw her pop in. So she's in there.
Yep, she's here.
Perfect. Thank you, Barbara. You're amazing. Yay. You're awesome. We'll see you in Paladins tomorrow. But speaking of streams and whatnot, this last weekend we did Extra Life. We played video games for 24 hours, and it was fantastic. We ended up raising $2,459, which is fantastic. It's not quite our goal, and we still have some time if people want to help us out. But we did the major event. We raised a bunch of funds. People were super awesome. They came and supported us. But what I wanted to talk about tonight is I actually have two of my Dungeons & Dragons friends that are here. That have role played with me on a live episode, which is super awesome. We had a lot of fun. Some people nearly died. Some people would.
Some people being Jocelyn, who was very nearly insta killed by Ryan.
It was an accident. It could have happened to anybody.
Should we do the segment in character or?
No.
These accidents seem to happen more often with you though, Ryan.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure, because Marty, I mean, who knows? So play...
We don't know what Marty's doing.
We'll go around the table. So for this campaign, it's something that we do through James's initiative check-in, and you can go watch older episodes at youtube.com/iagovos. I-Y-A-G-O-V-O-S. Nailed it. So all those episodes are there, and you can catch up. It's been a lot of fun. We did a lot, our first live episode during Extra Life, and had so much fun. I think we might have to do them live from now on. I don't know. It was just so much fun. And just the reactions to me almost killing people is and talking to people who are weird. But just so people know, this is like half the party. So I want to go around the table. So Lindsay, why don't you introduce your character first?
Gosh, how much should I say about it though?
Well, don't get into spoilers, but like name what you played, stuff like that.
Okay, my character is Ray, or gosh, I don't remember her full name, but Ravelin Marigard, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fact check me on that.
I think it Ray. I mean, Ray. Some people call you Ray Ray, but
Ray, yes, Marty. she is a druid who, and her personality style is a lot of eye rolling and sighing and. Oh my gosh, Marty, why are you talking to me?
she you're very like the stuck with us type character. Like for some reason she's in this band of party, but she obviously doesn't necessarily want to be in and around these folks, like in and around their adventure, you know?
Ragtag bunch of adventurers.
Yeah, but for some reason she's sticking with it. I think it's that is yet to be determined as to why, but there's like a lot of layers to the campaign, and that our DM, Matt Kearney, who's been on the show before, and he's a really good DM, and he kind of said to everybody, like, look, everybody just give me your characters. You don't have to go crazy on the backstory. But I think everybody sort of gave him something to work with. And I love creating mysterious, twisty background stories to basically say, like, here's what I'm thinking. And I actually had a conversation. We each had a conversation with the DM. Like, here's what I'm thinking. Can you put it into the game? You know, put it into the backstory.
Sorry, Tana in the chat room said, tell us about the farm.
Yeah. I forgot that I hadn't told. I could have sworn I told Kearney, like, as the DM, that my character, I play Marty Durant. He's a sorcerer. You can never quite see his face. Lindsay's dying. So I can't even remember what we were doing, but we were fighting zombies, or we were talking. For some reason, Marty really likes to just take charge, but he's a take charge kind of guy, but he's not a leader by any means. So he often just ends up talking, and then another person just says, like, okay, we'll do that, but in less words, you know? So I think I was talking to someone's like, oh yeah, but on the farm, we always did this. And he's like, what farm? And I'm like, oh, I grew up on a farm. And then Matt's like, I have no idea what he's talking about.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
It's pretty funny. I mean, Marty's a character, and Lunescence in the chat room. Yeah, just so you know,
Lunescence.
Thank you. I'm still in character. Dungeons and Dragons is what we played, and we used Fantasy Grounds to sort of set up our campaign. It's all digital dice rolls, stuff like that, which we'll get to in a second. But Marty Durant is a sorcerer who always has his face shrouded in shadow. You can never quite see it. He's a cloaked figure. He's a sorcerer that, you know, tends to favor fire, but, he, you know, he's thrown a chromatic orb around that had acid or ice. And he just likes to have fun. And he's curious. He's very curious. And Sparky Shocker is saying he wasn't invited. When we sort of envisioned this, it was kind of like we needed to keep it concise in the amount of characters, because there's already a lot of people. Like, five people is kind of like, is a pretty decent sized D&D group, right? And I think down the road there might be opportunities to bring in one-off guests for an episode, like have them pop in, like, Walking Dead style, like, oh, I'm here and I'm here to help. You won't die cameos. Horribly. Yeah, cameos. That's the better way of putting it.
Well, they might die horribly. That's part of the fun.
I mean, I might kill you horribly by accident.
Yeah.
More on that later. But Jim, what about your character? Your lovely, talkative character.
Oh yeah, she's so talkative. I play as Arlia, a half-elf barbarian, and she is fairly grumpy.
She's very grumpy.
Well, not really grumpy, just, you know, not very talkative. Gets kind of impatient, especially with listening to Marty and Finn argue about stuff constantly before actually making any decisions, which is why I went charging into a cave this past weekend full of zombies, it turned out.
Yeah.
Because I was just sick of listening to them, you know, bicker about what they should do. So
we were bickering.
I have a very large sword, and I can go into rages and basically just attempt to chop things' heads off, or attempt to chop down and fail to chop down a signpost that was annoying.
Yeah, so
your
that
Ocarina of Time style slaying of the sign.
Yes, exactly.
The sign had what, 6 HP, and you?
Yeah, I think I only hit it for 5. Yeah. That was pretty embarrassing. I guess I should have gone into a rage just to kill the sign.
Does your rage sort of, is it like a toggle, or does it have a bunch of counters that you can only use it so many times?
I can currently rage twice a day, and it lasts for 10 rounds.
Cool. Now there's
my character isn't wearing much clothes, and Marty Durant seems to like to point that out constantly.
I feel like, well, sorry, Marty feels like you're like, either I'm overcompensating because I've got the maximum amount of clothes on, or you're overcompensating because you have the minimum amount of clothes on. And it's just, it's always so cold in these caves, and he's just looking out for you, man. Or okay. Lady.
The out of character explanation for this is that barbarians have an ability to use something called unarmored defense, where you add, I think, your dexterity to your strength or something, and get, you know, extra armor class from it when you're not wearing any sort of real armor. So what I told Matt was that it would make sense for me to use that because as a female character in a fantasy setting, the chances are good that I'm not wearing much clothes.
Makes sense?
Yes, exactly. It's very logical.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody sort of plays their character really well. And my character, I like to annoy people because I'm just so curious. So I gave Lindsay's character a nickname because I could tell that she was getting, like, her character was frustrated with the fact that I couldn't keep my mouth shut. So I call her Ray Ray. And I think at the end of our first recording session, you had said to me, he's like, I'm sorry, my character's such a dick.
It was Jocelyn's character, and I apologize because I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But
she's Valia. She's Valia. She is not an elf, or she is an elf.
She's the elf.
Okay.
She's the elf, yes.
And you, as we were speaking Elvish, and you came over like, hey, elves, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, that was my bad.
And we've become friends ever since.
Yeah. Well, one of us are friends, and the other one's just like, leave me alone.
And I'm just going to roll my eyes again.
We're all in the same party still.
Yes. Yeah.
And nobody has intentionally tried to kill anybody.
Intentionally.
Except for in that practice thing we did before we started the campaign where I intentionally killed James.
That's true. And
that was
James,
just for fun.
So James plays a priest, a very evil, or not evil, but just a very... I mean, he's just super psyched to melt things.
Excitable.
Yeah, his name's Finn. Me and Finn, we're like best buds. And I think we're actually best buds. But Finn's shining moment was melting a bear.
First he melted a bandit, then he melted a bear.
Oh, okay, he melted a bandit, right, I couldn't remember. We just remember the bear, because the bear was majestic, the bandit, you know.
I haven't forgiven you guys for that.
Yeah, it was an accident, I don't know. So we don't want to spoil everything we went through in Extra Life, but there was a moment, like right at the end, where I critically missed a very powerful spell, and... I'll leave it at the fact that, it did not go well for Jocelyn until Ray Ray stepped in and saved the day. So
I like how you called it a critical miss.
Well, that's what it is, right?
Yes, officially what it's called.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I think you rolled a one, and I think James rolled a zero at some point during the, because he got one minus one.
Yeah, anytime you roll a one on any sort of, like, attack or, you know, ability usage or whatever, it's a critical miss and terrible things happen.
Well, I literally almost, like, and when you die in Dungeons and Dragons, you're dead, your character dies. Like, there might be story moments to bring you back. There was talk of a sacrificial altar being a few feet away, but nobody wants to see a character die in the second round of Dungeons and Dragons. So luckily, Ray was able to come in and save the day. But she critically hit with the eye rolls. It was pretty fantastic. Sorry, what was that?
Barbara has reminded us that there was also, I believe, Marty and Valia attempted a high five and missed.
Yeah, we rolled for the high five.
Yes, they failed their rolls
so for
a high five.
Much fun with rolls.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's in Dungeons & Dragons, everything you do is based on, you know, your skills and on dice rolls. So you can actually fail at high-fiving or chopping down a immobile signpost.
Yeah, exactly. So unlike Legend of Zelda or a real-time RPG, if you want to chop that sign down, like, it's not based on numbers. It's just based on, did you hit the button and was your sword close enough to the sign? It's just a generated animation. But because of what we're able to do with our imaginations and having a DM who kind of can lay out the story and spend hours, like, we're spending hours doing the actual campaign. He's spending hours prepping the campaign and making sure all our backstories fit and how things come in. Like, I think we're getting to a point where eventually we're going to come across some stuff that's like, oh, this is based on the story that he's using to, I can't remember what the story is called, but he's using a new module that exists. But there might be instances where he's like, okay, let's take a bit of Marty's story and put it in there. Let's take a bit of volley the story and put it in there and kind of start having these unique events that are unique to our campaign start popping up. And I think that's where it's going to get really exciting. But for now, we'll just stick with killing each other by accident and critically missing our high fives. But I did want to just kind of give people a refresher on the D&D thing, because we've been playing it and having a lot of fun, and it's going to continue. And you guys were there, and we had a lot of fun with it. I think it was kind of the highlight of Extra Life to be able to do that live.
Oh yeah, it's a ton of fun. Yeah. It gets really silly.
Yes. Yep. I can't even remember. There was a moment where in chat you were saying, like, this is why I like playing D&D with Ryan. I think I did something.
Yes. Ryan is the star of the show, pretty much. Wow.
I just like having, like, chaotic fun, and that's why I created my character as chaotic. And I think there was a moment, again, we won't spoil it, but there's a moment where I lit my hand on fire and I slapped a character. I said, burning hand slap. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I'm glad that you guys were able to join us to play live. But were there any other highlights from Extra Life that you guys enjoyed? I know, Lindsay, you stuck around with James, who did a sort of 16-hour stream after we finished.
The round two.
Yeah.
Gosh, no. I the only thing I participated in live was the D&D segment, and kind of hung out with James in chat for the other 16 hours of it.
Yeah, and he played a bunch of. He was playing Wind Waker, and I was popping in here and there, and I'm really glad that he was able to do it. And I think Extra Life or D&D was certainly one of those highlights. I think people really dug it. What about you, Jim? Was there something that stuck out for you that's worth mentioning?
Our StarCraft games were really fun.
Yeah, we played Archon mode. In the first game, me and Vent kind of, I think, got the upper hand. Yep. And then by the second game, both Jocelyn and Jim were like, okay, we got this. And they totally wiped the floor with us. I was like, yeah, we're dead.
Yeah, the first game was mostly my fault. I made a lot of mistakes. But then the second game basically just made enough units to keep you off of us, and then built a ton of carriers, mm-hmm. and it was all over at that point.
Yeah, those carriers totally took us out. I've been really enjoying StarCraft, but I'm interested in those co-op missions and Archon mode to kind of play around with it. Chat room's kind of chiming in. Lunescence is doing Extra Life this weekend. That's awesome.
Yay!
So good luck.
Oh, cool.
Good luck to you, and have fun and raise some money for the kids. Barber is saying she played Sonic at like 2 a.m. Sonic's really cool. Did.
Sonic at 2 a.m. sounds like fun, actually.
It does, actually. You all want to stay up till 2 a.m. and play Sonic? Yes, yes. Everybody? No?
It's got to be Sonic 2, though.
Sonic 2? Yeah, Sonic 2 is pretty good. The music's pretty iconic. I remember in Skype, I could hear Barber playing it, and I'm like, starting to like sing along and play. I can't do it any justice, but it's so good.
The old Sonic one, where whenever you were underwater and the countdown timer music started going, it was like, oh my god, full panic, let's get out of this water.
What was it?
For some reason that stuck with me all these years too, like, and I haven't been able to play that just because of that music.
It's like the weird sound he made when he was like running into air was like glup, glup, or something like that.
Yeah.
It was just so,
sad.
Chilling to the bone. Sparky is saying, playing Overwatch with Joss, Kyle, and Jules. Speaking of Overwatch, some lucky folks were in the beta, and we did a segment of that on stream, and people had a lot of fun. The footage, it was like 3 hours. I couldn't believe that they had played for 3 hours, but it went by so quickly. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, Extra Life, another year done. We're all good. We raise money for the kids. But what I really want to talk about, and we'll talk a little bit more about Extra Life right now, actually. I wrote this in here. So we did play the games for 24 hours. We raised $2,400 for charity. But you still have time to donate until December 31st. And we're not going to remind everybody each week. This is sort of probably the last or second last time we'll mention it. But if you go to bit.ly/TGI2015, TGI all caps, you can donate. We haven't hit our goal yet, but you know, we might get it, we might not, but we're still just trying to raise money for the kids. And if you go to bit.ly/TGI2015, you'll be able to donate to the cause. It's all going to the kids, folks. But more importantly, let's talk about Patreon again and talk about the hangout that's happening tomorrow. It's the third Thursday of November, so that means we're doing a hangout. Jocelyn's going to be away, so I'm extra hoping people show up and want to hang out with me. I got two people to come tonight, so maybe tomorrow we can get even more people. I did ask nicely, though, and I think I owe you each, like, hams or something. Is that the arrangement?
I don't think you owe us anything.
No. Nah, just stop trying to kill our friends in D&D.
Right. Yes. I will do my darndest.
Careful with your chromatic orbs.
Yeah, I mean, they're so powerful, but if they...
Burning hands.
Yeah, that was just funny. I don't even think I did any damage. But anyways, yeah, if you go to patreon.com/thegamersin, you'll be able to find out all the information about our Patreon hangout, which is happening tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. And those are scheduled for every third Thursday of the month. And it's basically you call in, you hang out, you can put your questions through the Patreon, through chat, and we just basically address them and shoot the shit. It's a lot of fun. And then finally, that is rounded up with Game Night, which happens every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. We have a suggestion to play Paladins this week, thanks to Jimmy. Good old Jimmy. Oh, Barber, don't start that. It'll be cold or warm ham, whichever you prefer.
Old ham is the best.
But we'll probably be playing Paladins unless other people get in there and outvote Jimmy. But I think we've got a pretty good contingent of folks that want to play Paladins. It'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, that does it. That's a show. Thank you guys for joining me and talking about video games.
There's so much going on.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us.
Yeah. So where can the fine listeners find you, Jim?
You can find me on Twitter at Jimmy the Shovel, and starting yesterday, I actually started streaming on Twitch a bit.
What?
You can find me at twitch.tv/JimTheShovel because some jerk has my name on there.
So your Twitch account grew up just because, no, call me Jimmy. Jimmy was what I was called when I was a boy.
Yeah, that was pretty much like a four-year-old thing, and then I stopped that. But now people call me Jimmy because of the name, and I can't exactly complain about it.
Oh, no.
But yes, I'll be streaming from time to time, probably mainly Paladins and Smite, but
cool.
Who knows what else.
That's a lot of fun. Definitely check that out. Throw some follows at that Twitch account to check out Paladins. What about you, Lindsay? Where can the listeners find you?
I am on Twitter at Sauntering Walk. Jim is making me want to start streaming again because it's been way too long. But in the meantime, they could twitch.tv/SaunteringWalk if they're so inclined. But don't expect anything for a bit because I'm lazy.
And
busy.
Exactly. I'm the same way. I like streaming. And I like that interaction with people, but it can be tough to like you just want to play the game. Like, yeah, I got to set it up. I got to make sure it's working. I got to monitor the chat. It's like
at a certain point, talk about stuff sometimes.
Yeah. You don't just sit there like clicking and doing this. Not that that's what I would do. That's what I have done. I tried recording Walking Dead, the Telltale game, and it just turns into this, you know, like just sitting there. You guys can't see me, but just sitting there like clicking madly. But yeah, no, I'm super glad you guys were able to join us and talk about video games. There's lots going on right now, and there's a lot of stuff to play. So thank you once again. And just a quick reminder to all those folks, if you're wondering why we're recording at 9, it's because until December 9th, you can check out amove.tv/calendar for all the changes, but we are recording at 9 p.m. Eastern until December 9th. That is due to some baby prep classes that I'm taking. I won't go into detail anymore about what we learned because I think I learned my lesson last week when we talked about Muppet boobs and nobody's stopped talking about that. Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, huh? Yeah.
Muppet boobs. I want to ask.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
But you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. Follow us on Twitter. You can find Jocelyn at JossPlays, Ryan, myself, at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find our guest, Jim, at Jimmy the Shovel, and find Lindsay at Sauntering Walk on Twitter. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google Plus if you so are inclined. Email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com if you have thoughts on Paladins or Overwatchers or all kinds of good stuff. We want to hear from you. So thank you for listening and have a fantastic week. We'll see y'all tomorrow.